This show furnished by NeuroHealth LLC.
You're listening to The Dr. D Show about neuropsychology and well-being.
Get the knowledge you must have to live a powerful, positive life.
The Dr. D Show. Here for you.
Welcome, listeners, to the Dr. D Show today. It is wonderful to have you with us. I am Dr. D, clinical and forensic neuropsychologist. I am very excited to announce that we have Fraser Smith, the one and only comedian, with us on this show.
I am the only comedian.
The only comedian that would come on my show. Goodness gracious.
Oh, okay. I had tried to get rid of all the others, but there's still a few left. Nice to see you, though. And I'm so impressed you had Richard Blade do your intro. How'd that happen?
Well, I've requested nicely.
Ah.
But either way, so the show is about the brain. As you know, we promoted it well on Facebook, and it was very exciting. A lot of people thought it would be fun to talk about humor.
They did.
And why humor can be actually prescribed by a doctor.
You can write a prescription for humor?
Absolutely. I find myself prescribing that every day. And one of the reasons is because it's wonderful for the brain. Humor is one of those
Can I get a discount with my SAG card?
Actually, we should prescribe you.
Come on. We got a redemption. Thank you.
Can I prescribe you to my
patients? I
brought
my drummer with me. He's here.
Well,
goes with me everywhere.
I don't have a drummer. I need
you
to
need
get
to get
a drummer.
They should have that.
I didn't get that in the deal.
Yeah, should be part of your prescription. Should be the first thing you say. Get a drummer.
My practice might suffer, but either way. The show is technically psychoeducational. So just a little disclaimer for everyone. I am not treating any one of my listeners in a sense that whatever you're learning today is for your education. If you do suffer from a particular disorder, please do reach out to professional help. And with that in mind, let's go back to the topic because,
humor.
We know that laughing is a great thing. Everybody loves to laugh.
Well, it even goes back to the Bible. You know, it said in the Bible that humor is does your body good, like a medicine.
It is, and we actually know physiologically why it's so good. See, one of the worst things that can happen to our body is something called stress hormones. And we all produce those.
We sure do.
And actually,
I got a lot of those.
They're oozing out of us.
They really, I hoped you hadn't noticed that, but okay.
everybody has that. And in fact, interestingly enough, Western culture has the most. So did you know that actually the more money you have, the more stress you have, and the more likely you are to be depressed?
No wonder I'm not that stressed out.
That's why we're happy, right?
Right.
We're not swimming in cash.
Well.
But what's interesting about it is that stress hormones and they come around when we're stressed, when we're angry, when we feel hostile. What they do, they increase the number of blood platelets, which can cause obstruction in our arteries. So when people say, don't get my nerves going because I might get a heart attack, that's pretty much actually true. If you get stress enough, you can really have obstruction in your arteries.
Yeah.
So stress is
there can be a platelet log jam.
And it's actually really harmful to your
brain.
Where's
my rim shot? Okay, sorry.
And aging, you're talking about aging, stress is so counterproductive. So if somebody starts feeling like their brain is not the way they used to be, stress is going to make it worse.
It does? Yeah, well, sure. I could see that.
It does. And it's harmful to our memory. And so being stressed about losing your brain is actually hurting your brain, if it makes sense.
It does make sense.
Yes.
If you're worried about losing your brain, that could be very stressful.
It could be. And one of the...
I always leave mine somewhere. That's my... Yeah, there we go.
Leave it
at home.
The
drummer's back.
Just go with the amygdala. Just go with emotions like crocodiles do, and you'll be just fine.
Yeah.
But you might not maintain your marriage or your job or anything else, but you'll be a happy clapper. So... We're not saying that. We're better than animals in the sense that we have free choice and we have a frontal lobe that process information and we can make complicated decisions.
I don't know. My dog knows a lot of jokes. But you know what? But it's endorphins, right? Is that what it is?
It is.
That gets released when you're laughing?
More than the endorphins, it produces neurochemicals in the brain that gets so many areas active. And you want your brain to be active. It's like a muscle that needs to exercise. So those neurochemicals that get produced in your brain are so healthy for you. There is an electrical activity that takes place in the brain when you, every time you laugh, there are waves that go all the way to the frontal part of your brain, the prefrontal cortex, that actually help your brain stay active.
Yeah, I know. I got a big bill for my DWP on that. I want to ask you, because I do a lot of stand-up comedy out there, and I noticed that these days in particular, because it seems like we're in a stressful world right now, mm-hmm. and we have the election and everything coming up, and I noticed that the crowds really appreciate a night out watching stand-up comedy, because unlike a lot of other things, it does leave you with a good feelings. Mm-hmm. With you forget your problems for a couple of hours. You're watching the comedy. You're laughing. Is that a good thing?
It's a wonderful thing, and you're doing a great service for people. And
well, not with my jokes, but. But I think, yeah, in general, right?
It but
is
you do.
Good for people?
It's very good for people. You think about the level of stress that people go through now, thinking, is it going to be Hillary or Trump winning? And the sense of dread, because now we know that both camps think it would be the end of the world if the other person right. won. So we're definitely going to have 50% roughly of the population having a nervous breakdown after Tuesday.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So what are we going to do with all these people that are going to be severely depressed because they're going to feel like the world is going to turn upside down? And, one thing I tell people, I said, we are a little speck in history, meaning your life, with all due respect and ego that we've got a very short life. And empires will rise and fall. And they did before we came around, and they're going to do it after we're gone. And is it really worth it? For you to destroy
get all
your
that
life.
Stressed out, yeah.
Completely stressed out, ruin your life because of something like that. Now, does it mean significant things for people? Absolutely. Is it going to mean something in terms of economy and safety and a whole bunch of things? Yes. But there's only so much one can do.
Well, that's right. You can only control so much. You can control your vote. And really, that's about it.
Yeah, and your family yeah. and your kids and what you can't control your spouse, but
that's true. You and your jokes.
But see, my jokes are not as funny as your
I don't
jokes,
know,
but I find
good.
Them funny, so I laugh.
I was laughing too.
But that's the thing is that we have to think about. I always when I have clients that talk about stress, and a lot of them are high achievers. And they value themselves based on their achievements. And if their achievement didn't go through the way they thought it would, life is over. And I have this lovely exercise that I do with them, and we just close our eyes and we travel in time. And we travel to times that they were young and free of responsibility.
I told you last time I was on that you were a time lord. I totally believe that.
And I like to do that. I like to actually steal time. We can steal time. Mm-hmm. And travel back to those years. And then what's so fascinating when you get older, and I work with vast majority of people that I work with are above 65, so I have this affinity to the older age. And one thing that I noticed, it's incredible, by the way, and I wish I could write a book about this, actually, so many of them travel in time to their childhood, and they have vivid memories. And I know scientifically why the brain does that. But it's an incredible phenomenon that they can travel to the time that they were young, and they can describe in particular details moments and events, the sweater that they were wearing the day that something happened. And it's phenomenal. And I capitalize on that without shame as a therapist, because I think it's healthy for us.
By the way, I like that sweater. It's got David Bowie on the front. Where'd you get that?
Very nice. I love rock
I'm traveling
and roll.
In time watching that.
Rock and roll.
Because I was a big Bowie fan.
Yeah, and we should always keep it that way.
Yeah.
David Bowie was amazing.
Genius, right? He's
talking about a talent.
Come on.
Oh, gosh.
Who was more talented? Now, when people go back and travel in time to those memories, that can either be good or bad, right? They can either go back to a bad memory and bring that into where they are now, or a good memory. Can you train yourself to go to the good memories?
Yes, but we should not be afraid of the bad ones. See, actually, psychologically, it's healthy to be able to, with guidance and with someone who cares about you, and if your therapist or doctor is somebody you care, you love and you trust, okay, and you have to have a strong trust relationship, you travel together. You don't travel alone. There is an opportunity to resolve issues, to reflect on a time that maybe you weren't as wise as you are today. And
so a bad incident could be turned into something good, or you could resolve something.
It's not going to necessarily turn to something good, but processing it, understanding it better, seeing how it made you the person you are today, what things you've decided to do or not to do, and close the door. I'm a big believer on process it, talk about it, make sense of it, because all PTSD, stress, sadness, depression is unresolved issues.
Is that right? You're holding on to it.
You're holding on to it, and you know, it's an approach avoidance. I want to touch it. I don't want to touch it. You don't want to go deeply.
You know, I say that every night. You know, I'm sorry. That
if she's sleeping. So, you know, it's an interesting thing because people do ask that, but I also work with PTSD. I work with veterans a lot. I work with PTSD of women who have been going through life of abuse by various kinds of individuals. And I'm firmly a big believer that it's that dread that one feels being helpless, not being able to make sense of things, not being able to process and get some closure. That's important.
Closure's the key word,
closure,
right?
Closure and peace. The other thing is the peace of peace, which is some things we can change, some things we cannot. At certain moment in time, you only had certain amount of information and ability. And it's not fair for yourself to judge yourself and the decisions you made at that time, knowing what you know today.
Yeah, that makes sense. Can you, in traveling back like that, can you resolve something that was a traumatic experience?
We always do.
By talking about it? Is that what helps?
Talking, experiencing. I used to be a hypnotherapist, so I use some of those skills as well.
Oh, do you really?
Yes. Uh-huh. I think that a trained...
Am I hypnotized right now?
a trained therapist... No, you're not.
Oh, okay.
Not that you know
then
of.
Then put away that watch. I'm sorry.
Not that you know of. But
work though? If someone is under the influence of hypnosis,
mm-hmm.
do they know that they're what they're doing at that point, or do you have to guide them?
They know what they're doing, but they're more susceptible to do it. Susceptibility is a big one. So it's the same thing like why people walk around like chickens when they get hypnotized on television. They really want to participate in that respect. They might be extroverts. They might be wanting to let go. In fact, the more stressful the person is and holds back, the easier it is for us to bring him down to sleep. It's an incredible thing.
Oh, is that
thing.
Right?
Yes,
really?
Yes. The higher the resistance,
it's the easier it is. Huh?
The lower they go.
Wow.
So it's a phenomenal thing. But I want to, before we go into a break, I want to mention that, you know, going back to the topic that we're talking about, it's important to let go, to relax, to enjoy the moment, to experience things in a free and new way. And that freedom, we need to feel free. And that's when you don't feel free, you're tied up to all these, to the politics, to your money, to your career, to what people think of
you're
you.
You're anchored to the past.
And you're miserable.
I just made that up.
And you're miserable. Who says you have to be tied up to anything besides the fact of being an honest, honest, fair person?
What if you're into that, though?
You know?
Hey, wait a minute.
That's a different type of tie. But before we continue on this topic, I want to encourage individuals to call us, because today is also a show about the brain and about why it makes sense for us to laugh and how amazing it is in the brain. And maybe you have experiences where humor made a difference for you. So please call us at 800-222-5222. This is Dr. D. Gaines. You can find more about me at drdgaines.com.
I have a big question when we come back for you.
Sounds good. Stay with us.
I got to think of it now.
It's time to break out the old Christmas tree. If that doesn't ring in much good cheer, head to the Home Depot and save 20% on a brand new artificial LED Christmas tree. Stunning trees, dazzling with the latest LED lights to suit your holiday style. Whether it's warm white, multicolored, color changing, or blinking, Let the good cheer flow. 20% off LED Christmas trees, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through November 9th. Exclusions apply. On HomeDepot.com. Limit 3 per customer.
Hey, Christy, what are you doing here?
Making money with Selfie Station.
You mean that awesome portable touchscreen photo booth that we've been taking selfies with all night? That's your business?
I'm having more fun and making more money than I ever have.
Do you want to own a business that's fun, that everybody loves? Just go to SelfieStationToday.com and now get $500 off the professional package. SelfieStationToday.com promo code 9999. That's SelfieStationToday promo code 9999.
Do you know a lot about beer? Well, it's time for Sam Adams Know Your Beer. Not all hops taste the same. American hops. They're piney, citrusy, like a lumberjack chopping grapefruit. German hops, they're floral and spicy, a beautiful bouquet with thorns.
Ow.
English hops, earthy and delicate, a beer lover's cup of tea. Whatever hops you like, from Rebel IPA to Boston Lager, Sam Adams is crafting a brew for you.
Boston Beer Company, Boston, Mass. Safer responsibly.
Hi, you can't see me because of radio, and I can't see you because I'm totally blind. My blindness doesn't hold me back, but I fight to stay awake during the day because I'm not sleeping through the night. Often I struggle to concentrate and just keep up. Sound familiar? You're not alone. But this is not a sleep disorder. It's actually NON24. Learn about the link between total blindness and your symptoms. Visit learnmorenon24.com or call 855-856-2424.
Sponsored by Vanda Pharmaceuticals.
Welcome to Geico's Motorcycle Meanderings.
Oh man, this is great. I sure saved a lot of money by switching to Geico. Scored some big savings, and now I can use their mobile app 24/7 for all sorts of stuff. Life just makes sense now. What doesn't make sense is, if a highway splits, it's a fork in the road, then wouldn't the long straight stretch be a knife in the road? And then, wouldn't a cul-de-sac be a spoon in the road? What would a spork be?
Geico Motorcycle. Savings that make sense.
For you.
Coming up on the next drive home with Jillian Barber and John Phillips, it's our election preview special.
That's right, we're leading up to the big night. We'll tell you where the polls went this weekend.
Live and local, right after Dr. Drew and Psycho Mike, right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Look at that, Bowie.
Welcome back.
What a great engineer. You got Bowie
for us
for your intro. Beautiful.
Just listen to the music, not do any talking.
This guy's good.
He
got me a drummer. He got the,
Welcome back to the Dr. D Show. Clinical and forensic neuropsychologist here with Fraser Smith. We're having a fun show about humor in the brain and why humor is so healthy for you. And I want to mention this interesting, really interesting fact. So there was a study at USC that found that while comedians had specific areas in the temporal lobe, which is the sides of your brain, by the way, were active during production of jokes, their brain was actually less active in the area of pleasure and enjoyment from humor. So it seems to be, and that sparked my...
That's because we're jealous of other comedians.
But why is it that it's harder for a comedian to enjoy humor as much as they produce humor?
Well, there's a couple of theories on that. One that you always hear is that, comics always come from a troubled background. A troublesome childhood, unhappy growing up. And sometimes I'm sure that's true. And then I guess what happens is you go the opposite way. You know, if you've been there, you try to go somewhere cheerier and more fun. The other thing is that, like a lot of jobs, you look at your job as a job, you know. And so for comics, I don't know, we're a tough laugh, I guess you would say, because we see it every day. So it's kind of like, even though we love what we do, it's kind of like punching a clock sometimes if you're not careful, if you don't catch yourself and say, hey, I'm lucky to have this job, you know, to be able to go out and do this thing and enjoy it a little bit.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I think, you know, you tend to look at it, especially if you've done it for a long time, here we go again.
I think it's with every profession.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say.
I hear what you're saying, because it's with every profession. You know, we become more skeptical of what is out there that's comparable to what we do, and we become very judgmental of that. Now, it looks like we have a caller. Susan, welcome to the show.
Hi. So
I am a great supporter of the use of humor. I retired recently from health care. I was a nurse in many settings, and then I was also an educator. And I just, when I was caring for patients, I knew that that smile and making someone, you know, see the humor in a situation always raised their spirits and promoted feelings of well-being, which in turn promoted healing. So firm believer in the use of humor.
Absolutely.
In health.
And
there was an author, Norman Cousins, I think was his name.
Right.
Right.
Yes. And he was he just said wonderful things and really supported the use of humor in the healing process.
Absolutely.
He recovered from cancer with the support of humor. So,
absolutely, Susan.
I
love it. I love what you're indicating in terms of diseases and medical conditions. Almost 99% of the reasons why somebody would come to see a neuropsychologist is because they are suspecting dementia or cognitive decline or maybe some brain disruption after going through chemo treatment for cancer, various kinds of child disabilities. These are serious conditions that are affecting people's lives. And part of what a good clinician will do is incorporate lightness at some point and laughter and positive psychology and positive attitude. And even in marriage therapy, one thing that I always enjoy to do when I work with couples is to take them back to the time they used to laugh together, because most individuals laughed when they were dating. There was some connection there where they had a great time. And if they could find it back then, they have more of a chance of finding it also today.
Maybe they ran out of jokes. Now, Susan,
so
I was thinking, though, you know, there's a lot of comics that, and I've done this too, that go to hospitals and do shows for the patients. And I think it's very effective, don't you think?
I think it's very effective.
Yeah. And then with younger patients, the use of clowns.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
In the clinical setting, it's just, it's very helpful.
And you know what's
interesting? I have another age group, you know, now that I am retired and dealing with changes in lifestyle my husband is retired as well, and I'm hoping, and I think it's something that we have to work on, is to really use humor as we progress in aging. And you know, I see cognitive changes, and I see you know, the forgetfulness and decline in alertness sometimes. So I'm wondering how I can use humor as a tool to deal with that situation.
Susan, this is an excellent question. Let me answer this question, because I deal with this every week. With individuals who are aging and we start seeing cognitive decline, most of us focus on the memory, and we right away notice that our loved one is losing their ability to remember what we're telling them, or remember appointments, or anything that has to do with the memory, while we forget that there are so many other areas that still function very, very well, such as comprehension, understanding things, laughing about it. So one thing that you could do is even as simple as taking your favorite comedy show, or a segment in the newspaper, or a time, go nostalgic and go in time that you used to watch things that were funny, or bring up funny stories from earlier years and process that together. And you are likely, your loved one, even if that person has memory decline, is likely to remember that and laugh with you, which is a wonderful thing.
And Susan, I noticed that you live in the South Bay area. There's a great comedy club down there called the Comedy and Magic Club. And I believe it's co-owned by Jay Leno. And they have just wonderful performers down there. That's kind of in your area. Maybe you guys would like to go out and take in a show sometime. Sure. You know, those are really, really good, high-quality shows down there, and you'll see some funny, funny people. And again, I was speaking as a comic, saying that that's a great night out for a couple because you just laugh. You let everything go and forget about everything that's troubling you, and I think that might be an interesting option for you.
Yeah, and I would just avoid trying to test the person later on whether they remember that or not, because if they have a memory problem, they're probably not going to remember it, but who cares? It's about that experience and that moment in time that you have a great time.
Get those laughs, get those endorphins going.
Mm-hmm. Right? And I want to say, Susan, you're sparking my attention to share. When we laugh, by the way, there's natural killer cells that actually, believe it or not, destroy tumors and viruses. They increase disease-fighting proteins. T cells, B cells, all of those, by the way, that I'm mentioning, boost your immune system, and they fight disease ongoing in the body.
Wow, so, I'm going to have to start charging more for my jokes.
Absolutely. And Susan, prescribing to you once a week to go to the comedy club. It is healthy.
I like that idea. I love that idea.
You guys would have fun.
Do you think Medicare will cover it?
Well, you might get a senior discount. You'd love that club. And you know, they have all kinds of different comics there and some pretty big names and just people you may not have heard of but who are very good. And I think you and your husband would enjoy that night out.
And I want to say, here's a double whammy. I'm going to really convince you now. You also, when you do it together with somebody that you love, you're more likely to produce oxytocin, which is the hormone of love, which is also a great healer for your body.
So isn't that what got Rush Limbaugh in trouble? Oh, no, that's OxyContin. Sorry.
As long as you, yeah, that's not exactly the same.
But he couldn't hear you after he took it, though.
Oh, he did? Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah, it was one of
shouldn't have been laughing about that. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but, you know, but I would say hold hands together. Get those hormones produced. Laugh. Touch each other. The sensory experience is important. The laughing is important. The non-judgmental perspective of let's not worry about, you know, can we test each other on this or not, which a lot of couples do. Let's just have fun together.
Well, you know, and I knew, I have a friend who had cancer and went out and just got a whole lot of comedy shows, old and new, and just watched them all the time, you know?
Yes, and I think you need to, we need to disconnect from all the stress factors that are out there. A certain percent of our time, it's a very important and cheap therapy. So, Susan, thank you so much for bringing this question on air and also sharing your experience. Laughter is magical, and we need to do more of it.
All right. Thank you so much for such an interesting program, too.
Thank you. You're welcome. And all the best to you and your husband.
Thank you, Susan.
Thank you.
Thank you for being on the show.
Bye.
So, yeah, this is like really amazing. And you know what's really cool is that, you know, there's other areas. Like when you think about, there's an area in the brain that's, by the way, in charge of the most important things that a human being and an animal actually needs, the amygdala. So it's in charge of emotional processing, but also food, sex, sleep. Okay.
Where is this particular thing?
It's right there deep inside your brain. Oh. It's called the primitive brain, actually.
Okay, I've been going about it all wrong then. Sorry.
And it's not, you know, but it, what's interesting is that humor is also processed in the amygdala, which sort of clues you to the fact that it is actually very essential for us. It's one of those essentials that we need to have. So
I'm glad to hear that because it keeps me working. Now, what is the, what's that thing called again?
Which one?
The
amygdala?
The amygdala. Yeah.
Yes, the amygdala.
So the
Miss
water
amygdala.
Boy was correct. Okay. Just checking.
But it really is just phenomenal. Although animals, I don't think, have a sense of humor. Although I might
know.
Be wrong with that.
Again, I have a dog that laughs all the time. Not at my jokes, but.
So, you know, here's a question for you, actually. So when I looked into theories of laughter and what makes people laugh, there's this interesting division of how do you make people laugh? Well, one of them was called the incongruity theory, which means that humor comes from when logic gets interrupted with things. Two things are not supposed to go together and they go together. That was one strategy on how to make people laugh.
Right. It's like when time collides with color and shadows explode. Again, I don't know what that meant.
That was something from the 70s, probably, because I had no idea what you were just saying.
I did a flashback, like you said. I went back to a childhood incident.
I'd have to smoke to say something like that, and I don't.
So
that was one strategy. And then I want to ask you what you think about those strategies. And is this something that really, you know, you as a veteran comedian, do you ever think in those terms? Then there was another theory that said superiority theory, which comes into place when people laugh at jokes that focus on somebody else's mistakes or stupidity or misfortune. You know, when you see somebody doing stupid things and you start laughing, that was like the superiority theory. And then the third primary one was the relief theory, where like people are going through a lot of stress, or there's even, let's say, a show or a movie, and they have like this heightened experience, and then the show breaks it with something very, very light to make people laugh. So do you ever, like, when you put together you know, a show or something funny for people to listen to, do you ever think in those terms?
Well, I think the incongruity thing is something all comedians kind of do. You kind of go with your setup, if you're setting up a joke in one direction, and then you get the laugh by kind of surprising them by going in another direction. As far as the material where you're being superior and making fun of people, I would prefer to do that less. But, you know, every once in a while, if there's someone in the news that's kind of making a fool out of themselves, you kind of sometimes have to do something on that topic. And I think sometimes that helps. I mean, even if you look at the election right now, there's so much tension out there. So if you do a Trump joke and then a Hillary joke, and Johnny Carson's theory always was, if you do a joke about one side, you have to do a joke about the other side next, so you don't lose 50% of your audience, you know, which makes sense. But that way you're kind of, you know, it's called, equal opportunity offender. You're kind of you're kind of making fun.
Offend it all.
Well, yeah, you're making fun of kind of everybody, and then you're not really, you know, pinpointing one person or one group.
Right.
And that tends to be effective, because it you know, people then can laugh because they realize, okay, he's not just targeting me.
Because hopefully get the point that this is about laughing and not about targeting.
Yeah, and also you're kind of having fun with it. You're having a good time with a tense situation. And I think that can bring on relief.
And, you know, when I think about psychology, going back to psychology, a good psychologist or an assessment person will actually notice if somebody is excessively using a certain type of humor that maybe is not the most preferable one, right? The one that we talk about, superiority, like I'm better than this other person and I'm going to put them down. Or somebody is using scatological humor, meaning toilet humor, right? They're pee-pee and poo-poo kind of joking, but they're not four. They're, you know, 20.
Or 60. That stuff comes naturally.
But it tells us something. You know, for us, for psychology, it tells us something about the person. Why is it that their humor is not that sophisticated? Where are they cognitively? Also, maybe it's a self-esteem issue. What do they think about themselves? Why do they feel like there is a need for them?
That they're being so infantile? Yeah.
Either being infantile or putting somebody else down consistently to in order to be popular or social. You know, it says something about
Well, there's
someone.
Also something, though, you know, one of my all-time favorites is the legendary Don Rickles, who everybody loves, and yet he is the king of put-downs. You know, his whole thing is going through the crowd and giving everybody a hard time. But he does it in such a charming way that it's almost an honor to be insulted by him. You know, but he's a super pro.
Sure.
I mean, he can
it's
do
talent.
It. Yeah, he's
it's
very talented. So he can do that without really hurting someone's feelings, because they actually feel endeared to be part of his bit.
Sure.
But, you know, Don is a rare breed. I mean, that's a very talented guy. So you don't always get that a comic who's not as talented may actually cross the line and say some things that would hurt someone's feelings.
And that's where the talent is. So with that in mind, you know, let's have some more people calling us today. You are welcome to ask questions.
What's
and
bring
your
again?
Concerns. 800-222-5222. This is the Dr. D Show, Clinical
Neuropsychologist.
I'm still
going to think of that big question. I got to ask that question.
You go to the dentist and find out you need a root canal or a periodontist, and that means another appointment with another doctor at another location, maybe in a couple of days or weeks. Well, now there's a much easier and affordable way. Dr. Messer Connie has put together a team of experts at LA Dentists Group, a collaborative dentistry practice, the newest field of dentistry, that provides a prosthodontist, periodontist, orthodontist, general cosmetic and sedation dentist, medical doctor, and anesthesiologist all under one roof. For anxious patients, they do safe sedation. They do implants, full mouth restoration, teeth straightening, smile makeovers with porcelain veneers and crowns, all under one roof. LA Dentist Group utilizes a 3D imaging scanner, so they can save you time by pre-planning treatments. They even have their own lab to personally supervise your final restoration. To schedule your appointment with Dr. Messer Connie and LA Dentist Group, call LA 888-95-TEETH, 888-95-TEETH, or ladentistgroup.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry MyPillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-324-0629 and use promo code KABC. That's 800-324-0629 or go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code KABC.
Election Tuesday, KABC takes over the legendary smokehouse in Burbank. Join Doug, T-Ray, and all of your KABC faves for election results, analysis, and prime rib. The most unusual election in U.S. history deserves the most unusual election night coverage. Your Common Sense Election Headquarters, 790 KABC.
Welcome back to the Dr. D Show. It is wonderful to have you with us. By the way, just a few things. If you want to reach me, and I would love to hear from you, who is this doc that is talking to you? Check me out at drdgaines.com. If you want to hear more, sign up to my special event where I'll be able to answer your questions personally, or sign up so you can get my e-newsletter with all the info that I find for you about the brain and review for you about brain health. So check out my website, drdgaines.com. Also go on the KABC page of my show. There is a link to the Healthy Brain Questionnaire, which is only very few questions. It will direct you to give your email address so we can be in touch with you and give you all this cool and healthy knowledge and information. So check it out. And also, if you like the show and you want to support it, please like us on Facebook, the Dr. D Show page.
You know, and we're talking about humor and how it relates to the brain and your body. And, you know, I was thinking about the movie Young Frankenstein, where, and of course, the great Gene Wilder just passed away recently. Such a classic movie, Mel Brooks. But I love it because that's the one where they get the brain, the wrong brain for the monster. And it causes a lot of problems. So you got to be careful which brain you pick.
Absolutely.
Even in a comedy.
And we can't buy a new brain.
You can't?
No.
They don't have, really?
No.
Not on eBay?
My richest client, I cannot buy them a new brain.
Do people come in and request that?
Not as directly as it is, but people do say, you know, I had one client that put this giant check on the table and said, you know, fix my kid, get them a new brain.
Wow.
And I had to give back that check and say, it doesn't work that way.
I would have kept the check and still told them.
but it's true that we have to protect our brain. It's something that can depreciate or can earn value with time. And so we need to know how to treat it. And, you know, there's every once in a while there's a new article that comes in the news that says, look, our brain doesn't just deteriorate. We can actually grow new cells. It's nothing new. For neuroscientists, we know.
You've known that for a long time.
We know that. We know that even though above the age of 40, the brain gradually and naturally loses cells, we know you can have something called neuroplasticity, which is the brain's ability to create new connections, have new neurons and neuronal activity by the experiences that you have. So if you do new things, you learn challenging new tasks, and you do it without being stressed.
That can keep your brain going.
It actually really is protective for the brain.
Now, I've been mainlining ginkgo. Does that help?
Do you feel challenged?
I do. Yeah, right now. No, I mean, does ginkgo help or anything like that? Any
I don't know
supplement?
What ginkgo is. What's ginkgo?
Ginkgo biloba.
Oh, you mean the, oh, okay, you mean the herbal thing. Okay, yeah. Well, that's a separate conversation.
But does any of that work, that stuff?
Herbs have a very limited ability to help you.
Uh-huh.
And that's there are some herbs in the market that help more than others. And remember that they are called supplements for a reason. They're not healers. They're not cures. They supplement your body with nutrients that can maximize your brain's ability to do one thing or another. But they're not going, like I said, to create a new brain. In fact, above and beyond, we know that music, playing music or learning a new musical instrument, learning a new language, doing things that are new and challenging for you is the most healthiest thing you can do. And having excellent, excellent nutrition.
Nutrition's important, though, right?
Very important. Right. Just, you know, most of the vitamins, if you can get most of what you need through your food, that would be the most preferable
way. They always used
way.
To say fish was brain food. Is that true?
It's still true. And we're going to do an episode all about nutrition. It's something that I teach and taught for a long time, and I'm working on a book that's going to come in this area. For you listeners, I know a lot of you that call my office talk about that, and I teach classes in this area, but at this point I'm putting this in a book because it's very important to understand that nutrition is one of the number one ways for you to maintain yourself as you age, and it needs to be a way of life, not just about buying a bunch of supplements and then starving yourself otherwise. But and it's not about juicing everything either. It's really a very balanced diet of many colors, avoiding processed food, avoiding chemicals, knowing how to eat and what to eat and listening to your body and see
what
it is
that
you need.
Huh?
Makes a gigantic difference.
Now, we were talking off the air about something, and I was mentioning a couple of examples of situations like a couple of years ago, I wound up going to church again. I hadn't thought about going to church. I wasn't even thinking about it. But a friend brought me to a church, and the pastor there was hilarious. The guy is just hilarious. So that got me going to church again. I thought, well, this guy, I'm going to go for the humor, and then it kind of got me into the whole thing. And I also, the other example was traffic school. I went to a comedy traffic school where the guy wasn't very funny. He was kind of dry, and and it seemed to take like 400 hours. It was only 8, I think, but it took forever. And then I went to one where the teacher was hilarious. And it seemed like time flew by, like we were out of there in 15 minutes.
Absolutely. In fact,
so
humor
can work with businesses too and stuff like that, right?
All the time. Clergymen enjoy using comedy and humor because it's very effective. In fact, what we know is people rarely remember what you actually say. They more remember how you made them feel.
Right.
So if you made them feel happy, they're more likely to come back and listen to you. And they might not even remember what it was that you were talking about. So, rabbis actually are known to almost always open their sermons with the jokes, rabbi and the priest and and there's always the funny jokes that come around.
They walk into a bar.
But it also reduces, you know what it is?
Sorry.
It also reduces the judgmental component, the combative component. You know, most of us walking around like we're going to get attacked. You know, it's like one of those things. You see people walking around in the market, in the stores, and they always like this. There's this sense of, vigilance going on around. And truthfully, sometimes for a good reason. But So, you know, when you come to a lecture, it takes time for your body to relax and let go and just be receptive. And by opening your lecture with something funny and entertaining, that's what you're doing. You're
it's inviting, right?
Breaking the ice.
Yeah.
It's breaking the ice. But I also think that that's important to understand that, you know, going back to the medicine, okay, which is what I do, like the lady that called in and discussed it, Susan, the reality of life that everybody has a family member or somebody who's suffering from something, and at those critical points in time, what do you do? And laughing is one of those was the things you can do.
Well, and that's why I gave her a practical example, I thought, of going to a club in her area. There's a comedy club in her area that's a really good one. Very consistently good. And it's an easy night out. It's not that expensive.
And it's fun to talk about it later. It's also a bonding experience. You could say, hey, I really like this. I really like that. You might not want to talk about it 2-3 days later if the person has cognitive problems. They're not going to remember. But right after that, it'd be fun to and like I said, travel in time. Hey, do you remember what it was like, you know? And if you can do that, that's great. You know, I also want to say one more thing about humor is notice humor with children. And that's sort of a pointer there for parents and grandparents. You know, kids tend to receive a lot of no's rather than yeses in their life. They tend to, I always tell parents, monitor and see how many times you said no versus saying yes to something. How many times you said something critical. We call it the negative and the positive. Kids get a lot of negative. Don't touch this. Don't do that.
Right,
don't talk here. You know, it's
I still get that.
You know, sometimes your wife does that, right? Or our spouse may do that to us. So, you know, you get a lot of no's. And part of laughing is breaking that away, you know, is saying let's make it light, let's have some fun. And so when kids get very distressed, okay, they might start laughing a lot. They may even become the class clown.
Well, you know, when I was I think in like third or fourth grade, you know, they have the show and tell thing and you get up and you do whatever, and mine was jokes. It was always jokes. I'm never, and they were all out of a joke book,
right,
which, by the way, I'm still using that joke book, but you know, from third grade. But it you know, that's what I did. I got up and I told a whole bunch of jokes because already back then that was something I was into.
Yeah, yeah, and it's a great thing to do. I have a son that I'm very curious to see where he's gonna go because he makes jokes naturally all the time and he's very talented with that. He makes all these funny, he mimics sounds and people's. And I think, you know, it could be very irritating probably to someone who's more boxy. Like I could see how it could be irritating if your kid does that all the time. But I think it's a talent. You know, I really do believe. You know, when I look at that, I go, wow, I can't do that, but he can.
Well, yeah, it's a gift. Like we all have gifts, and that's a gift. You know, I had an interesting call from our general manager here, Dawn, at KABC and KLOS, and she had a friend's nephew who was recently gotten out of college and was looking to get a job, but had been hoping to get something in comedy. He had come to her to see about maybe a sales job, and she said, "You know what? I don't think you're designed for sales. Your passion is comedy." So she was nice enough to call me and say, could you help this kid out? And I think I'm going to be able to get him a job at a comedy club working behind the scenes there. You know, and that is something that this kid was suited for. He loved comedy. Mm-hmm. You know, that was a passion of his, and he'd been studying it and watching it. Mm-hmm. And rather than try to fit him into another kind of a job that he's maybe not passionate about,
sure.
I thought that was a good option.
I love what you're saying because passion is everything in life.
Yeah.
Passion is healthy for us. It makes us successful. It makes us creative. I always suggest to people that if you have someone or you are yourself an artist and you want to practice your art, make sure that you learn and you find a way to monetize so you're able to pay your bills, so you're able to carry yourself, but not let go of your dream. Make sure that somebody's helping you learn how to navigate yourself to monetize what it is that you do so you can continue to do what you love. Because life is short, and at the end of the day, we all end up more or less in the same position. horizontal underground. And
I wish you hadn't reminded me.
But it grounds you. It grounds you.
No, it does.
It grounds you, because what it says at the end of the day is, doesn't matter how many accomplishments you have on a piece of paper and how much you have in the bank, you lived a life, and you may as well make that life count for you. No, not for anyone else. For you.
Yeah, it's what you're into. It's what you love.
It's like, you know? Do you spend the minutes on this earth doing something you love? Because we are spending a whole bunch of other minutes doing things we don't like paying our bills and doing, you know, whatever not, making phone calls we don't want to make, dealing with stress. Make sure that you've got enough hours in the day. You do what your soul loves, and who cares what people think?
Who cares?
As long as it's not against the law and hurting
somebody.
Well,
now
we got a disclaimer
problem.
There.
All right.
But, you know, we'd love to hear from callers. If you have any questions, we have a few minutes left. 800-222-5222. 800-222-5222. This is the Dr. D Show. And I want to mention, before we go today, you know, there's a lot of BS out there about brain health. I come from a background of research. I'm still a researcher and a scientist. And I'm very rightfully, and it should be, very skeptical about what is being offered to patient population. And I will tell you that it's a giant responsibility, and it can irritate a lot of good doctors when we see that people spend thousands of dollars, precious time, and most importantly, their hopes on treatments that do no good and can actually do harm. Sometimes they spend years where the person should have gotten real help with treatments that's effective and not waste all of their money and remortgage their house.
What should they do?
And instead, they go and do all these other plans because it's been marketed to them one way or another. What they should do is go to experts. They should go to their neurologist. They should go to their neuropsychologist, such as myself. They should go to clinicians who are trained and know what they're talking about and are not just selling them something to make money. I see it a dime a dozen all the time. You need to go to the experts in the field. Neurologists, that's what they do. They understand the brain. Neuropsychologists do assessment and differentiate. Is it autism or ADHD or bipolar? Or you need to figure out what you have first in order to treat it. If somebody tells you that their treatment is good for everything and they cure everything, run for the hills. It doesn't work that way. Conditions have specific treatments that are good for them, and many of them also can be covered by insurance. But it's very important that you get the correct knowledge. And I want to share with everyone, if you have questions or concerns or you want to know information, you can always call my clinic, 323-456-8686 with those questions.
And you can call me too, but I won't be able to help much.
You can call him for humor if you want any referrals.
I'll tell you a joke.
For a comedy show. But in that in mind, I really feel very strongly about that, because we clinicians talk about this all the time, and it's actually a real crime that people would spend so much money and effort and hopes on things that are not going to help them.
Now, can you reverse some of the effects of something like Alzheimer's?
You can't reverse that effect. I want to say this. There are some types of dementias that are temporary dementias. They're more related to depression and other problems. And those are temporary. There's something called delirium. After surgery, for example, there's a temporary cognitive decline. But Alzheimer's is not something that today we know how to reverse or to cure. But we know some techniques and things that are going to either slow down the decline or maintain it at the place that it's at, where we want it to be. And it's also important to understand that proper diagnosis allows us to find out how the person that's declining, how do they communicate and what their brain still knows how to do very well in order to use that in treatment.
Uh-oh.
With that in mind, we're wrapping up. Thank you for being with us. Stay tuned to the Dr. D Show. Check me out at drdgains.com and be well. Thank you, Frazier.
Thank you, Doctor.
Listening to the Dr. D Show about neuropsychology and well-being.
Get the knowledge you must have to live a powerful, positive life.
The Dr. D Show.
care for you.
This show furnished by NeuroHealth LLC.
This election season, Angelenos need someone who is respected by the community.
I love Doug McIntyre in the morning. He's the way to start the day.
Someone who isn't afraid to take...